We're talking about wisdom from above on Sunday mornings this year. I was talking to a couple of you about cold weather this morning, and one lady said, "Well, isn't that sunshine wonderful? The sun is shining, something to be thankful for." Another lady said, "I saw a forecast that was sub-zero, and when I woke up, I saw it was 1 degree outside, so praise God for that little heat wave. We have a degree, ladies and gentlemen, and the warm-up is coming. We would like to see growth by degrees in our walk with God, in our wisdom that He wants us to walk in, wisdom He has sown into the threads of our universe as He created it, even as we saw in a passage last week, and He wants us to walk in it. We need this wisdom from above. Are you praying daily? James 1 says, if you lack wisdom, you can ask of God and He'll give it generously. So I want to remind you, let's be praying, each of us individually, every day, that God would give us this wisdom from above. If you could use a visual reminder to keep that in prayer, there's this James 3:17 wisdom from above magnet you can find on our literature tables, put that on the fridge or somewhere where you'll see it daily, and remember to ask God for wisdom from above. We don't want to coast through life. We don't want to just take it a day at a time. We don't want to be stagnant or complacent. We want to be growing. We want to be going somewhere. We want to be on the path that God has for us. So we've been looking at Proverbs 4:7 that says, wisdom is the principal thing. This is where we start in all of our getting. We want to get understanding. We want to get wisdom. But we saw last week the ultimate prerequisite to that, the beginning point for that beginning principal thing, is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's where wisdom starts, Proverbs 1:7 says, where Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 15:33, and other verses in Scripture that point us to the fear of the Lord as the starting point for the principal thing, wisdom. The essence of wisdom, then, is centered on God. It's living as if the ultimate reality and everything matters only based on how it relates to God. He is central. Our fear, our reverence, our awe for Him is what drives everything we do. That's the wise walk. Conversely, then, if Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart there is no God, then the essence of foolishness is to live as though there is no consequence, no accountability, no tomorrow, no eternity, no God. And really, few of us would ever be tempted to say there is no God, but sometimes we live as if He is not at center. We could put it more simply, as one writer did this way, foolishness equals centering your life on anything other than God. So sometimes it's not that we reject God's existence or pretend that He isn't there, but sometimes something else is the driving center of our lives and pursuits. And the Bible says that is foolish to put anything at center other than our God. So fearing God is where we have to start. Last week we introduced 3 points. The fear of God involves, number one, recognizing humbly that He is the only ultimate source of true wisdom. Looked at some scriptures about that last week. Number two, submissively renouncing sin. If I'm fearing the Lord, I'm saying that what He says is wrong, and to stay away from reverence for Him causes me to hate what He hates. And next week, Lord willing, we'll look at how humbly renouncing sin, recognizing God as wisdom, really comes to fruition when we joyfully pursue holiness, cultivating a love for what God loves. These are the fear of the Lord as they pour forth in wisdom for our daily decisions. We want to focus on that second one today, what it means to submissively renounce sin and learn to hate what God hates. Or briefly, we're talking about this morning, the path to avoid. The path to avoid. We know where to start. We know how to back up and get the prerequisite for that starting point. And then early in our journey, we have to understand that there are wrong ways to go. You know, sometimes you're driving around and you, on your route that you want to take, see that sign that says, road closed ahead. Sometimes the signs go up before the work actually starts or before it's gotten very far. And so you wonder, am I in a gambling mood today? Could I go past that road closed sign and maybe I can get through? Well, I encourage you to pay attention to those signs. I did drive by one last year over here on Keystone, a road I don't go that way often, but I was trying to get somewhere and kind of in a hurry. I don't have time for this road to be closed. I'm going to see if I can get through. So I went by the road closed sign. Everything was totally fine for about a mile. And then the bridge was out. Not the bridge was closed. The bridge wasn't there. And so here's Joel at the edge of a cliff. I wasted my time, wasted my fuel, got to turn around and backtrack because I didn't avoid the path that led to destruction. Okay, well, sometimes our Department of Public Works gets a little too anxious in putting those signs out maybe. The DOT isn't always on point, but when Scripture gives us warning signs about the end of paths that we might take, we ignore these signs to our own peril. When the Bible says, stay away from this, stay away from that, it's not arbitrary rules to suck the fun out of life and to keep you away from the excitement and make you take the long way around. These are warnings that we are foolish to ignore. We can say, yep, got it. Yeah, that's where I am. I believe you. I'm 100% with you. But sometimes we want to take that gamble. Well, a lot of other people seem to be going that way. Well, I understand that way's probably not best, but I don't have time for the long way right now. There's ways that we take that path the Bible warns about that wisdom will help us to avoid. So number one this morning, as we seek to grow just maybe about 4 degrees in our wisdom from above, that first degree is to discern the voices that influence your path. It's about knowing that as we go on our way, there are these signs. Hey, go this way. Hey, be careful of that way. And in life, there are these voices that pull on us and influence us and shape our values and seek to steer us toward certain paths or away from other paths. Solomon, as he writes Proverbs, is concerned that we recognize these voices. And so he's kind of presented them as a cast of characters, different voices that point us toward different paths, that warn us about other paths. The first character we encounter here in chapter 1 is the wise parent. The wise parent, his voice or her voice comes to the surface several times throughout Proverbs, instructing the child about which way to go, about which ways to avoid. So look at verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Poetic language there, but what we are to understand is that here are people that God has sprinkled through our lives that are in a position to be able to steer us toward wise paths and warn us about the paths to avoid. Wise parents. Hey, if you were blessed with wise parents, thank the Lord for that. Probably most of us are blessed to be able to say, I had at least one parent that steered me toward God's paths and away from the paths that Scripture says to avoid, or if not a parent, maybe a grandparent or some other parental figure or a spiritual mentor in our lives. And if nothing else, then at least here in Scripture, we have preserved for us the words of a very wise father, a very wise mother that tell us the path to go. I want to remind our teens or kids or anyone still living under your parents' roof that life in your teen years, it's exciting. There's a lot of twists and turns, and sometimes it's like being in a labyrinth. Or if you've ever walked through a corn maze where there's like some excitement, you don't know what's going to be around the right bend, and you'd like to come out in a good place, and you're just trying to trust your instincts and figure out which way to go. God has placed your parents at a vantage point almost up overlooking that labyrinth because they have that experience of having been there. If you say, well, my parents aren't super smart or, you know, they're not wise sages or something like that. But just the experience of life, you know, mom and dad actually know a thing or two, a lot more than you might remember. And those molars in the back are called wisdom teeth because they come with age, as wisdom naturally does. And so as your parents can look down and see where some of the paths that you're taking might lead and kind of steer you towards some other paths because of our own mistakes that we've made when we were in those younger days, or because of successes, blessings we've experienced as others have pointed us towards those right paths. Just remember, the wise words of a father, the wise words of a mother can be grace, a chain about your neck that really help you through life. But even as grown-ups look, as adults, you know, if you had, maybe you've already had your wisdom teeth and lost them, and you have a lot of life experience, remember that we too are in a maze, and God through Scripture from the divine vantage point tells us which way to go and warns us about the path to avoid. The second character we encounter, our cast in order of appearance, includes the reckless friend who takes over in verse 10. We hear these wise parents forecasting what to expect from the reckless friend or the peer who doesn't follow right ways. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, you're going to face people that are going to say, hey, come over to this path. Never mind what mom and dad said. Never mind what that pastor or the Bible passage says. Come over to this path. And they entice. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us wait, lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Truly in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So here's the reckless friend that's going to come up again and again in the book of Proverbs, trying to steer the person who's just looking for the right path in life away toward an exciting path, a pleasurable path, a path where there are easy gains to be had. And the wise parent is in a position to say, don't go that way. Refrain your foot from that path. The net is spread in vain in the sight of a bird. That's a wise saying. It's like if the bird sees you setting the trap, even a bird is smart enough to stay away from that. And what the book of Proverbs does for it, what's this divine, inspired, preserved wisdom from above does for us, is it shows us the net. It shows us it's out there so that we can stay away from that path to avoid. The next character introduced, the voice that wants to have an influence in our lives, is Lady Wisdom. This wisdom that existed with God before the foundations of earth is personified in this woman who calls out to the simple ones to come and find this right path of walking in God's ways. Pick it up in verse 20. Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices? For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Wisdom cries, calls out to everyone, simple ones. It's not wrong to be simple. It just means you don't have a lot of wisdom yet. You're not sure which way to go in life. And wisdom through Scripture and through spiritual counsel in your life calls and says, go this way. Be in Scripture. Be walking with God, be in prayer, be in church, be with God's people, and this is the way to go. And all are invited, whether you're wise or simple or a scorner or foolish, that invitation goes through all the earth and we can come to right paths. But when that invitation is ignored and people choose instead the paths to avoid, wisdom's warning here in the second half of that passage we just read is that when you go the other way, there will come a time where it's too late to change your mind. You're just going to have to suffer the consequences of those wrong decisions. It's never too late to do a U-turn and to head toward wisdom's path. But if you've gone down the wrong paths, those that are warned against in Scripture, if you've gone down them long enough, you will lose the time and energy invested there and suffer some of the consequences, the cost that comes with ignoring God's instruction. You can come to the right path, but just know the wrong paths will have consequences attached. Lady Wisdom wants you to be sure of that. There's one more character that speaks at various times throughout the book, and that is the Forbidden Woman. She's called strange in Scripture because she's a stranger from God's covenant and a stranger from God's ways. And look at chapter 2, verses 16 and following. These warnings about the path to avoid are here, verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Here's the net being shown. Here's the vantage point over the labyrinth, so you can know, hey, those flattering words sure sound enticing, but this path ends, verse 19, in death. Follow the forbidden woman, or if you're a young lady, that forbidden man who seduces, who allures to that wrong path, follow that path to your own destruction. This is the forbidden woman. And if you read chapters 5 and 6 and 7, there are lengthy discourses that warn you about how to recognize when this is the voice that's pulling at you, what's going to happen if you listen, and how to have the wisdom to act accordingly. Well, these are competing voices, and at varying degrees, each one of us today is called aside by each of these voices. It's that parent or parental figure, maybe one who has long since passed, but their teachings still kind of reverberate in your memory. That reckless friend who, a high school buddy or a co-worker or even those characters in media or TV that would pull you aside to different paths. Lady Wisdom speaks to us through Scripture and through spiritual counselors, fellow believers in our lives, God's Holy Spirit within us. The forbidden woman or the forbidden man do call to each one of us, whether in person or through media or digital means. And so it's recognizing that first degree of growth in our wisdom is to see, yeah, there are these different voices and they're pulling on me and they're pulling on me and their voices are strong. Their tendrils go just as wisdom is sown into this universe. The God of this world is also sown in these deceptive, alluring voices that would pull us to different paths. It's not that we completely stay off YouTube, but we recognize that YouTube has voices that would like to influence us toward certain paths. It's not that we never turn on the TV or movies or the radio, but we have to have the discernment, the discretion to recognize that in those forms of media, probably those negative voices will be more prevalent in seeking to steer us toward certain paths, in making the right path look less attractive or as an obscure option, and wrong paths look very tantalizing and satisfying. And these voices have real influence on our lives. And so that's one way, one reason why the wise, inspired author of Proverbs is personifying these voices. We are wise when we recognize them. So important, as chapter 3 tells us, that we learn to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and to lean not to our own understanding, to acknowledge Him in every way so that He can be the ultimate voice that directs our paths. Discern those voices that influence your path. Number two, then ponder the destination of folly's path. It's like, okay, so I'm recognizing there's these different paths that are different options. Each path has people pulling me toward their path and warning me against the other paths. And I have to understand, if I'm going to grow in my wisdom, that when I go that wrong path that Lady Wisdom warned me about and the Forbidden Woodman called me down, that the wise parent warned me about and the reckless friend called me down, that when I follow that path, there is a destination that wisdom foresees. Look at chapter 1, verse 32 again. The turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. This is how the net is being exposed. The vantage point is shining down into life so that you can know when. Yes, you can follow that wrong path, but here's how it ends. The language in verse 32 is not pretty. To be slain, to be destroyed. The prosperity of fools, or really a good word to substitute there, that's an accurate translation would be the complacency of fools. Not that it's wrong to be prosperous, but it's wrong to depend in that prosperity to the point that, oh, I'm complacent. This way seems fine so far. Haven't run off the edge of any cliff so far. This seems the way to go, and the average person in our culture, sadly, seems to be headed toward the edge of a cliff with the accelerator on cruise control. Proverbs 7, verse 22 talks about how the foolish man follows the forbidden woman like an ox going to slaughter, being seduced down the wrong path, not wise enough to see the destination of folly's path. Hey, we watch glamorous celebrities who blaspheme God receive their trophies, and it's easy to be envious. But tell you what, read their biographies, and most of the time that envy will turn to pity fairly quickly, because the way of the transgressor is hard. It might have plenty of glamour and pleasure along the way, but the end is, verse 32, to be slain and destroyed. There's a sign at a lake, a riverfront. Sign says, crocodiles do not swim here. Or there's no punctuation. Maybe it says, crocodiles do not swim here. And wisdom can tell the difference. It's like, what does the sign really say? What is really going to be the result if I take this path? Before you take one more step, we have to do what chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. There's a straight and narrow path that wisdom calls us to, that the wise parent seeks to direct us toward. Don't go to the left where that reckless friend wants to influence you. Don't go to the right where that forbidden woman wants to allure you. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You have wisdom from above. Are you cultivating a fear of the Lord? You can tell you're not if your attitude toward smaller sins, quote, it tends to be like, well, this is no big deal and doesn't seem to be any consequence, and this isn't really hurting anybody, and well, so many other people are doing it, surely this can't be so bad. That's a lack of fear of the Lord that can lull you down a path of destruction. Chapter 1, verse 29. These are people that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Hey, there's a choice to make. Every day, every hour, what are you going to choose? Are you going to choose to fear the Lord or say, well, this probably won't hurt anything and go the way that seems right to you? In the long run, let's think about the destination. Ponder the destination. Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder how that unwise path ends. In the long run, have you ever regretted doing the right thing? Oh, I wish I hadn't chose the right path in that situation. I wish I would have just sinned in that case. No, because experience looks back and has that vantage point of wisdom. Have you ever looked back and say, whoa, sure glad I sinned in that situation. Brought a lot of happiness. Really made my path better. No, because when we get to the end of the path, it's there that we see that it was foolish to ignore the warning signs. There are these four voices of influence we see in Proverbs and that we hear in our lives. And they beckon us to certain paths and warn us about the other paths. Wisdom from above is that light on the map, the exposure of the net, that vantage point from on high that helps us ponder the destination. And so we have these truths pithy throughout Proverbs and throughout Scripture and those principles that we experience in our own lives, that whoever digs a pit will fall into it, that one who rolls a stone will have it roll back upon them, that setting a trap for someone else probably means I'm going to fall into it, that a flattering mouth works ruin, that trusting a fool leads to shame, that if I play with fire enough, I will get burned, that the mouth of a forbidden woman is a deep pit, and the one with whom the Lord is angry will fall into it, that when you look at pornography, you rot your own soul. When you cherish bitterness in your heart, you're actually ingesting poison yourself. When you boast of how big you are, you actually shrink. When you are vain in your beauty, your pride makes you ugly. When you flex in the mirror, you might pull a muscle. When you're smug in your self-righteousness, you become a beautiful coffin full of unrighteous deadness. When you neglect Scripture, when you neglect prayer, when you neglect church, you are starving your own spirit. When you neglect your spouse, you undercut your own wholeness. When you slander your spouse, you undercut your own wellness. When you dishonor your parents, you lower your life expectancy. When you feed an addiction, you add chains to your own enslavement. When you lie to look good with others, others' opinions of you actually diminish. When you're reproved and won't listen, you'll someday eventually be suddenly destroyed. Whenever you sin, you may not immediately plunge off a cliff, but wait long enough, stick on that path far enough, and you will eventually be sorry you disobeyed. Every time, you'll eventually be sorry for the sin. Wish you hadn't. Every sin is foolishness. There is no victimless sin. There is no harmless transgression. All sin, at very least, is self-harm. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, that will he also reap. The one who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. The one who covers his sins will not prosper. Be sure your sins will find you out. Nothing is secret that will not be made manifest. Nothing hidden that will not come to light. When you transgress God's law with a shortcut, you never come out ahead. When the reckless friend calls, when the forbidden woman beckons, avoid this path. Avoid this path. That's the third degree of wisdom we want to grow warmer in. Prudently avoid folly's path. Okay, so it starts with recognizing there's these competing voices out here. And they each want to influence me toward their way and away from others. Okay, start of wisdom is to recognize that. It's not just I'm going through life and kind of playing it by ear. No, there are real influences pulling. Have to recognize that. That's starting point for wisdom. And then it's seeing, okay, if I listen to certain ones, here's how it's going to end. I have to ponder the destination of folly's path. And then step three, it really is different to prudently avoid folly's path. Because sometimes we have the first degree and we have the second degree and we think we've arrived at wisdom, but wisdom follows through. Wisdom, you know, second degree wisdom would be, I believe the doctor, when the doctor says, I need to eat right and exercise. Third degree wisdom would be to decide against that fourth donut and get up off the couch and go for a jog. All right, so it's not, you know, wisdom is in part that understanding of right facts, but it is, at the next degree, it's putting it into action. prudently avoid folly's path. Because sometimes it's like, well, I know this probably isn't really the best, probably not right, not really the best thing for a Christian to do, but, and we've got that wisdom there, second degree, but we're not putting it into that third degree. Someone said, the problem with good advice is that it usually interferes with your plans. That's the problem with good advice. And sometimes Scripture will do that to us or for us. James says, remember our key verse, chapter 3 and verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first, what, do you remember? It is first pure. Wisdom from above is first pure. It is separate from those impure ways. It sees those wrong, recognizes varying paths, sees how some of them ends, and keeps away from the wrong. It's first pure, avoiding folly's path. Chapter 1, verse 15, once again. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Number 4. The fourth degree, it comes to maturity and wisdom in our actions in relation to sin when we not only avoid folly's path, but in healthy fear of the Lord, learn to abhor folly's deception. What's the difference? How is this a degree ahead? Well, third degree wisdom toward wrong paths might say, well, boy, I'd love to do that. Boy, that sure looks enticing. And some of my friends are doing that. I'd love to. Oh, but, you know, it seems like I, based on Scripture, I probably shouldn't. Boy, I've missed out. I'd love to. I just can't. That's kind of third degree wisdom. I see that's a path that's not to go, and so I'm going to refrain my foot from it. But there's this split, this difficult pull that I'm struggling with inside. Whereas fourth degree wisdom says, like Joseph in Potiphar's house, how could I do this sin against the Lord? No, I don't want to go that way. Oh, sure, it looks pleasurable. Sure, you know, there are excitements to be enjoyed there, but I hate that deception. It leads to ruin. No, I don't want to go that way. My flesh is drawn to it, I admit that, but I hate it. I hate the work of them that turn aside, said the psalmist. It shall not cleave to me. That's fourth degree wisdom in motion. The fear of the Lord causes me to abhor folly's deception. Hate what God hates. See, Proverbs 3:7 is third degree wisdom against the path to avoid. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, so I've avoided folly's path. I've refrained my foot from that path because I fear the Lord. God says don't go that way. Well, I might still want to, but okay, I won't. That's third degree wisdom. A couple chapters later, we get fourth degree wisdom in chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is not only to depart from evil, it is to hate it. To wage war on sin. You see, this is what's been robbing my soul. This is what's been cutting my family apart. This is what has been keeping me from enjoying God's rich blessing. This is what keeps me from thriving with peace inside. This is what has me constantly in a state of turmoil and shame and guilt and this cycle where I'm not experiencing growth. It's the sin. It's not my friend. It's not anything good in it for me. I hate it. It's deceptive. The evil way, arrogancy, the froward or perverse mouth. I hate what God hates because I see through its deception now. I see the net. I see the vantage point. I know it's for my hurt. Notice in both of those verses that connection of fearing the Lord and how it causes me to relate to evil. Fear of the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7. Proverbs 8:13, fear the Lord is to hate evil. It's reiterated in Proverbs 16:6. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. In a crossroads in life, as you face decisions each day, or as you find yourself in the throes of temptation, Proverbs 1:27, Lady Wisdom says, "The fool did not choose the fear of the Lord." God's people, brothers and sisters, family, as we seek wisdom from above, we've got to, in those moments of choice, in those moments of temptation, in those moments where I'm weighing different counsels against each other, to choose the fear of the Lord. And when I have a healthy reverence for who God is and what sin does and the favor that He bestows on righteousness and the destruction that He has wisely woven into this world to end those paths of sin, cause me in fear and in reverential awe, not cowering and being scared of God, but in a wonder, in an amazement of His power and holiness and wisdom in the way He has laid these things out. I choose to fear the Lord. I hate that sin. May that be the wisdom that He puts in our minds in those moments of choice, in those moments of temptation. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is purged or atoned for. It's like when we have done wrong and we choose right, we choose steadfast love, we choose to be faithful, we can gain ground. If you've made mistakes, you can make it right. You can seek forgiveness. You can make atonement. You can make it up to people at times. Or maybe scars. There don't have to be open wounds. But ultimately, this verse can point us forward to Christ. It is His steadfast love for us, His perfect faithfulness in His sinless earthly life that grants atonement for sin through His sacrificial death on the cross. Friend, as you consider these different paths, and as I'm just one voice among many are trying to pull you towards some and away from others, recognize that there is no wisdom in self-help. It's not about, okay, well, I'm going to choose that path and I'm just going to do my best to get that right path so God will be pleased with me. You will fail. We all do. The wise path is a dependent path. It's a humble recognition that I'll go wrong. Even in trying to choose the right path, I'll go the wrong way because my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I can't even know it myself. But Jesus can transform my heart. He can give me a rebirth, make me a new creation so that His ways gradually become my ways. And so that the power that I lack to see the right path, His Holy Spirit gives the discernment. So the power I lack to stay on that right path, God's grace, Christ's example, the Spirit's guidance can have me there. So salvation is the first step on the path to wisdom. It's recognizing I can't take a wise path in my own wisdom. Even if I read some of these things and understand and say, yeah, I want to try to do right from now on. I want to make it to the blessing in heaven and all those things. You can't do it apart from a relationship with God through Christ. If you could do it yourself, God never would have sent Jesus to die. Jesus died on the cross so that we who are sinners and can't find the right path, and even if we stumbled on it, couldn't stay on it for a moment, might be saved and transformed and our feet placed on stable ground and directed by the steps of Jesus toward right. If you've never sought forgiveness of sin based in faith in what Jesus did on the cross for you, your first wise step is to come to salvation today. The decision you'll never regret. The new path. The new you. The new heart of rebirth through faith in Christ's death on the cross. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. This is wisdom to come to Christ, and if you are in Him, to learn to hate sin, to recognize it, so know that voice is out there, and to say, I'm going to choose the fear of the Lord. I want to hate what God hates. Job 28:28. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. We read that half of the verse last week, but the second half says this, and to depart from evil is understanding. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us in shining a light, providing a vantage point, exposing the net, showing us the invisible spiritual warfare, the tug of war that's taking place in our culture, in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits each day. Lord, give us that degree of wisdom to recognize what's going on and that degree of wisdom to see how it turns out when we go to the wrong path. That degree of wisdom to say, because of where it goes, I will not go there. And that mature degree of wisdom that says, not only will I avoid it, like my father, I'll learn to hate it and abhor evil. If one is here struggling with an inner turmoil, maybe lacking the peace of a relationship with you, I pray that you would help that thirst, that hunger, that yearning, that tugging at their heart to draw them to you today. Come talk to one of us, to come forward at this closing hymn, to be taken aside and to get that settled forever. For we who seek to, as your children, walk in wise paths, Lord, would you show us the way today? With our heads still bowed and eyes closed, just have that question as these signs come up in life and come up in Scripture and have been presented this morning. Would it be wise to continue to gamble with your soul? Would it be wise to skirt around those signs hoping you might come out ahead? Will you heed these warning signs of Scripture? Forsake the path of a fool and come to Christ. Believer, would you discern these voices? Ponder their destinations. The Lord says several times through an Old Testament prophet, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Are you complacently allowing foolish voices to direct you toward things you, if you really open your heart to Scripture, would know are wrong? Avoid folly's path. If you haven't been avoiding it, you've been flirting with it, you've been indulging in it, you've been allowing it to shape your thinking, confess this now. Repent of this. Ask for God's hand. You need to cut it off. You need to say no more. Remove your foot. Refrain your foot from that path. In fear of the Lord, to abhor folly's deception. Ask God to help you hate what He hates right now. Ask Him to help you grow and cultivate a healthy fear of Him, the beginning of wisdom, so that you might avoid the path of folly and walk in wisdom from above.